Hello, and welcome to Once Upon a Nightmare, your horror movie podcast. I am your host, Lorraine, and I'm here to chat about the fictional horrors of the world with some real horror thrown in. So if I want that true crime fix, I can just find a film based on actual events and chat about that. Still a horror movie.
Loophole!
I have had what some would call an unhealthy obsession with the horrors of the world for well over 30 years now, real and fictional. So if any of that piques your interest, you can find me on your podcast platform of choice. And of course, don't forget to rate and review and subscribe. I'd really appreciate it. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Hello and welcome to Reverie True Crime. I'm your host, Paige. As we know, domestic abuse is not always physical. Mind games, manipulation, the silent treatment, which is a form of psychological abuse, emotional manipulation, lying, and many other seemingly small issues that are not small at all, can build up slowly over time. It can be so subtle we don't recognize it and shrug it off. Maybe the person doing these things doesn't even realize they are at times. It's definitely not always black and white. However, these things still affect our brain function, our bodies, and our behaviors. One or all of these abusive doings can change our lives. We may spend a very long time working on the healing process. Trevin from the podcast Seriously Sinister sat down with me to share his story with all of us. I believe so many can relate to his story, whether you've gone through it in the past or are possibly dealing with it now. And if you are, I hope you can remove yourself from that toxic relationship so you can start to heal. If you'd like to show Trevin some love on Twitter, please do at SeriouslySinPod. That's Seriously, SinPod. He also wrote a song when he got out of this relationship, which will be linked in the show notes if you'd like to check it out. Like Ben in the previous episodes, I know Trevin was glad to share his story to help others. But at the same time, it wasn't the easiest or most comfortable thing to do. So I want to thank Trevin again for speaking out. Men are being abused in ways we may never physically see, and they may not even know they are being abused. I'm grateful that these men are still here. I'm thankful they chose to sit down with me, were bravely vulnerable, and are using their voices to share their experiences with us. Let's get started. Hey, Trevin. Thank you for coming on the show. How are you?
I am great. Thanks for having me on here for what will be my first not-so-silly interview, I suppose.
Yeah, before we dive into such a serious experience that you have had and these serious topics, I'd love for you to plug your show and tell the listeners what it's all about. I love it.
I am the co-host of Seriously Sinister, a true petty crime podcast. Unlike most of your typical true crime comedy shows, we, instead of people talking about murders and stuff and then trying to kind of palate cleanse afterwards with some jokes in between or whatever, our aim is to take not serious crimes, usually funny crime headlines, and then write really dramatic short stories off of them. It would be kind of like if you were going to listen to an investigative discovery, like one of those cheesy kind of documentaries, except it would be something as small as somebody pickpocketing somebody or something like that.
Yeah, I love it. It is so funny. It's so good. And your co-host, Amanda, or Mm-hmm. Y'all just friends or?
Amanda has been my friend for probably like 6 years, I think, 6-7 years. And she's married and I've got a girlfriend. So we've just been friends for a long time.
Well, y'all definitely have great chemistry. So you can tell that, you know, y'all know each other. Or I wasn't sure for the longest time. I was like, are they together or not?
Oh, no. Yeah, we're both just two creatives who somehow fell into podcasting as our outlet. She was an artist and a photographer, and I've always worked in audio, but I was more of a musician and kind of like music producer type. And then we just kind of fell into doing this. And honestly, it's been really fulfilling and really great way to express ourselves. And I'm super happy with it, and I'm gonna stay in it.
Yeah, I hope so for a long time.
Yeah, that's definitely the goal. I've never felt so welcomed and also just feel so natural in this playground.
Yeah, I totally get that. I feel that too. It's definitely amazing. All the people are just so awesome mm-hmm. in the community. I just love it.
Oh, it's so much better than musicians. Sorry, musicians that are listening, but podcasters are a lot easier to work with.
Well, I guess I will ask you this first. How would you describe yourself before this relationship that we're going to be talking about?
This relationship started when I was 24, and I would like to think of myself as kind of a late bloomer. I kind of didn't really come into my own until a little later. I weighed about 300 pounds when I was 23, and that's when I finally decided to start working on myself. So I kind of was a little bit of a person who kind of stayed in my comfort zone all the time, kind of lived in a little bit of a shell of myself. I would say that I was a little shy and didn't really come out of my comfort zone too much. But what had happened was when I finally started losing weight and feeling better about myself, I started getting out more, which is actually how I met this girl. So I would say that I had like a little bit of, you know, I was kind of a sad kid, but I wasn't like overly sad or it was like crippling or I couldn't get anything done. But that will kind of play a part into this story. Looking back at how I was before, I think I was a little more susceptible to a situation like this taking over my life.
So how did you two meet?
I was hanging out with a couple of guys that we were just kind of going out and getting drinks together, and one of them brought one of their friends that was a girl, and it happened to be this person.
You can make a fake name up if you want to.
Yeah, let's go with Josie because that's random. So I met Josie out at a dance club, a club that is known for being a lot of neon and bright colors. And we hit it off really well. I'm not really sure why she felt drawn to me so much, but she did. And it was one of those things where like the whole night was just like spent with this one person. And then after the night was over, she was trying to get me to come over and I didn't. I think I got her number, but then I started doing a little bit of Facebook stalking. And
yeah.
After I looked her up on Facebook, I saw that she was actually in a relationship with somebody. I wake up the next morning and I'm like, I'm kind of torn. I've got this girl who gave me her number. Everything was looking really good. But then I see this Facebook, you know, relationship status, and I'm kind of confused by it. I was in my early stages of kind of going out. And of course, I had talked to girls of stuff before. But so I was like, well, I guess this isn't going to work out. You know, no big deal. And she wakes up and is just blowing up my phone with text. I'm like, well, this is kind of mixed signals for me. It didn't take very long for me to get to the conversation of it because I didn't want to just be wasting my time here. And I said, well, what's the deal? You know, what's up with this? You know, I said, if you're ever single, I would love to like take you out proper or whatever, you know, do some gentlemanly thing. And she said, I'm single. And I'm like, well, are you sure? Because, you know, the whole world here is getting a little bit of a different idea of that. And she was like, oh, it's a big long story, you know, we'll just move on, it's fine. And I'm like, well, I'm still not gonna mess with that when you're single. And then she said, okay, well, I'm just gonna be dating now anyway because I am single, so if you don't want to date me, that's fine, I guess. And I was just like, well, dang, like that's. And of course, at that age too, I hit love hard. You know, I had very strong emotions when somebody gave me the time of day. I'm like, well, I'll hang out with you. Like, I don't want to like lose this opportunity here. Like, I had every time I thought I was anything could have been the one or like the big situation, so I didn't want to miss out on it. I lived off of regrets a lot when I was younger, because there would be a lot of times where I just felt self-conscious in my body or in whatever I was doing, to where when a situation presented itself, I would feel like my heart reaching for that thing to do it, but then I would know like I would never let myself actually do it. So then a lot of times I would let things pass, and then down the road I'd say, oh, I'm so mad at myself, I wish I would have done, you know, that thing. So this was one of those things where I was like, oh, this is a good growth opportunity for me. I'm not going to miss out on this opportunity because something silly like a Facebook status is holding me back. So yeah, I wasn't going to miss that opportunity and then be mad at myself later for it. So I said, okay, I want to hang out with you. And I think we might have hung out even that very next day. We might have gotten breakfast after, if I remember right. It was one of those things that when we started hanging out, it was all the time. It was definitely kind of one of those like love at first sight sort of situations. And she was a person who she liked to always have somebody around. One of those people who just could not have a moment alone, which I guess I probably, you know, in hindsight, you're like, maybe that's kind of a problem. But, you know, at the moment, you didn't really think much of it.
At that time, did you think, well, maybe she's just the kind of person that is so into me that she wants me there all the time to like cuddle and keep company? Or did you think that maybe she, you know, just wanted attention for the sake of just having someone?
At the time, I really did think it was. It was just like very strong feelings for me, but it didn't take very long for me to realize that it wasn't. I mean, like, I didn't doubt that she had strong feelings for me, but I also knew that she just had a weird thing where she couldn't be alone ever. She had a best friend that was always tagging along all the time. Even when we were hanging out, I would say we would almost be a 50-50 split on whether I was being with just her or with her and her best friend too. It almost felt like she had her friend and sort of this weird codependent sort of relationship too, where they couldn't do anything separately. It was like we were kind of like dating a little bit for about a week or two, and then boom, it was just full on 100%. Like, we were together all the time. I had this like standing appointment that it was pretty much, I go to my job, I get off work, and I'm hanging out with her. And that was like, it was like flipping a switch. We didn't really work our way up to it very much. It was just like 100%, you're always there. Anytime I wouldn't, I would kind of feel guilty because she would kind of act in a certain way or act kind of down, or when I would be like, okay, I can't come over tonight. You know, because I had my own apartment that I was paying rent on and taking care of my own stuff. But the second that happened, my room was pretty much vacant all the time because I was just staying with her and she was living in her mom's house.
Why couldn't she come stay with you?
She would every once in a while, but I guess she just preferred her own space, even though it wasn't technically her space. So after I had asked her a little bit more about the situation, she said, I had an apartment with my ex-boyfriend and we broke up. And it's so weird, like looking back, you know, hindsight's 2020. And I feel like, oh, I'm like so much smarter now, but whatever, that was that's now. So she said that they were together and they broke up and they shared an apartment together, but she left and she moved in with her mom to get away from this guy, and he technically is still living in the apartment that they share, and she wants to keep the relationship official on Facebook because she didn't want him to get mad and either like destroy the apartment and ruin her like renter's credit, or, you know, just something like that to where it was going to cost her a lot of money in the long run. And I was like, eh, I mean, I guess that makes sense. Even though technically the town that she had moved to was literally the next town over. So there's no way that you go to common places and not just run that chance of seeing each other. So that was a good enough excuse for me. I ran with it. I figured like eventually it'll play itself out, but it really didn't. So as time would go on, like I said, we had this standing appointment, and if I couldn't make it, she would make me feel guilty. She would be very quick to invite some other like guy friend over. The weird thing was, it wouldn't be a guy friend that I'd ever heard of. It would just be like some random one. It's like, oh, come on, Steve. You know Steve. Steve's just a guy I've known forever. And I'm like, oh, come on, I've never heard of him. Like, this is kind of weird. And she would say something about how her ex-boyfriend was kind of a little controlling or like wouldn't let her do her own thing. So, of course, it's like, oh, don't be like this guy. Don't be like this guy.
I don't think I would have been able to handle it because, I don't know, it would be a complete turn off.
Yeah,
for me.
And it definitely was, but at the same time, it was like, well, this is probably the true love thing. And, you know, I should be able to show that I'm strong enough to handle something like this, or at least is what I was trying to tell myself. And so she would make me feel guilty, and then she would have these guys over. But the weird thing is, so like, I finally, it was just like trying to juggle and keep everything in the air. I was working really hard to make sure I never missed a night hanging out with her. And then it finally just came up once that I had something come up. It was probably family related or something where I was just like, I literally can't be there. And it took no time. I'm talking like, okay, I can't come over. And she's like, okay, well, Steve's coming over or whatever, random guy's coming over. And I'm like, ugh, something about this feels really weird to me. But back then I didn't really understand boundaries like I do now.
And it's kind of like she would say that to be like, well, if you can't be here, I can replace you.
Yeah.
That's mean.
Yes. But at the same time, she would always say, anytime I would be like, well, this kind of makes me feel uncomfortable, she would say, it can't make you uncomfortable. She would always say, I'm not being shady. I'm telling you. I'm telling you right now, so it can't be shady if it's not a secret. How can you feel bad? And so I'm like, well, I guess you're right about that. So the first time this happens, this guy comes over, and she's not texting me back, like, at all. Like, I text her, and, like, I don't like to do double texts very often. I start to feel like I'm getting too clingy or something. And so I'm sending her a couple texts, hearing nothing. This would always happen. And so I would be like, okay, I'm getting a little mad or, you know, something, insecure. And then I wouldn't hear back from her until, like, the next day. And I would say, well, what happened? And she said, oh, well, Steve and I watched TV, and then we both went to sleep. And I'm like, went to sleep? What do you mean? And she's like, oh, he slept over, no big deal. And, like, she only was basically renting, well, not renting, but she was staying in, like, her mom's spare room in the basement. The only thing she had down there was a TV and a bed. So you knew they were, like, sharing the bed together.
Yeah. And at the least.
Yeah. And so I'm like, ugh. My heart kind of just says, well, I guess you just kind of told me everything I need to know there. If that's fine. I mean, we're not really technically dating. I guess that's fine. I'll move on or whatever. She's like, oh, no. It's nothing like that. I mean, he's just a friend who came over and he stayed the night. That was when it first started to kind of feel really uneasy for me. It was always weird because she would always have a different guy or maybe sometimes the same guy. They would always be available to come over at, like, the drop of a hat. It was never, none of them would be like, oh, aren't you with this person or whatever? Because nobody knew about me because she wasn't allowed to say anything about me on social media. But just because she was trying to appease this somewhat, you know, this controlling guy who lives in this apartment.
I know it's possible for a girl and a guy to just be best friends. Like, I know that. Mm-hmm. But she's just got a TV and a bed. If there was a couch or, you know, if it was something that would make it more believable that maybe he was sleeping on the couch, but sharing a bed, especially if you're known to be monogamous, and that's kind of overstepping for me. But like you said, she would kind of throw it in your face like, well, it can't be if I'm telling you.
Right. I would get a lot of, well, I thought I was the one for you. And then what would happen also is she would say, well, how can you say that you love me if you don't love this thing about me? And that thing about her would be the fact that she just wants to hang out with these guys.
Oh, that's so manipulative, and it's kind of gaslighting, trying to make you feel like you're the one that's in the wrong. It's mm-hmm. like, oh, it's nothing's wrong with me. This is a you issue.
Right. So I would get a lot of that. And then, of course, if I would start to get a little too worked up about it on, like, the next day or something when her mood kind of subsided with it, then she would be super sweet, and I would get a lot of, like, love bombing. I would get a lot of super sweet texts or handwritten letters or just, you know, childish forms of affection and, like, sweetness.
Yeah.
And so it would make me kind of feel like, well, who am I to try to walk away from somebody who treats me like this? She must really care about me.
And it's like, well, I must be doing something right. You know, she must appreciate that I, you know, trust her with these guys staying over. Since she gets her way, it's kind of like, well, let me love bomb him a bit so I can, like, kind of have my cake and eat it too.
Yes.
So I'm sure the love bombing probably made you feel good. I mean, like you said, who are you to walk away from somebody that seems to love you so much?
Yeah, and I, being coming from a more self-conscious background, words of affirmation is definitely my main love language. And so it was definitely getting taken advantage of, for sure, because all I wanted to hear was, you know, good things, especially in a situation like this. I mean, you got to remember, I'm going out with this girl, and spending all this time with her. But in the back of my mind, I'm just like, this girl doesn't want anybody to know that we're together. I mean, like, her mom would know because her mom lived there, and like her best friend would know. And so anytime I would say, hey, I've got a problem with this, she would say, everybody who matters knows. My mom knows. My best friend knows. And it's like, yeah, but...
I relate to that a lot. I think it's just that age, too, where we are so naive. When somebody tells you, well, the most important people in my life know, so what's it matter? It's kind of like, well, you kind of got a point. It's so easy. It's so easy to believe.
Yeah. I mean, she always had the answers, you know, every single time. This was hanging over my head all the time. I was thinking about this other guy. And then I thought, you know what? If I can get rid of this guy, the guy from the Facebook relationship status, then she will quit hanging out with these other guys for some reason. I thought, if these other guys are always, because anytime she would post something on Facebook or whatever, it would just get blown up with likes, oh, you're looking good, blah, 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 stuff like that. So I thought, which, you know, flawed logic, because she already was in a relationship status and it didn't stop these guys from doing that. But I said, I thought, if I can get her to make me that guy, then this, all these other guys will stop and they'll be like, oh, I wouldn't want to do that to another fellow man.
Yeah, exactly. Of course.
And so, which obviously would not have worked, but I made like this, I think I bought her, like, we were obsessed with small cakes. You have those around there?
I don't think so. No.
So they're like these custom cupcakes. They're really big. They make like really fancy flavors and stuff. And so we were obsessed with those. So I went and got her like a 4-pack of small cakes. And I think I might have gotten her flowers or something. And I was like waiting on her doorstep for her to come home.
Aww.
I think I even left work early to beat her to her own house.
Oh,
and I was
my
like,
God.
Listen, I said, I know that that's really scary and you're worried about this other guy. But I'm just like, I really want to make this official. I really want this to be the thing. I want everybody to know. And I said, you know, it would just mean so much to me if we could just make this a real thing and you would end things with this other guy that you never talked to, that you've apparently been separated with for months and you don't talk to. So it's like, if you want to say that you're basically broken up, I'm sure he wants to too. So why don't you just, would you just do this for me? She basically got really upset and it was like, how dare you like try to push me into do something I'm not comfortable with? And basically it turned into a big fight. Which was also odd because after that, she was like, I think you should go home, which, you know, to me, I've been fighting and fighting to make sure I'm always available in there.
Yeah.
And so for her to actually say leave, it's like, okay, who's taking my place? Because somebody always does. It, like I said, it was like trying to juggle everything, keep it in the air. But then when she says, you know, I'm going to tie one of your arms behind your back or something, like no matter what, you have to drop what you're juggling. You can't stay here now today. And I just thought, oh, great, you know, it's over. And she would always have these situations where it did. It always felt over every time.
That's so purposeful to make you feel bad or to just make you feel some type of like brokenhearted way. That's just so awful to do to a person, because that emotional and mental, those kind of games, those hurt a lot. And
yes.
I think people don't really understand until they're in it. I've been in relationships where I've been hit, but the mental and emotional pain for me hurt worse and lasted longer.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Not that I've been hit, but yes, I can totally see why. It's the kind of stuff that just, it doesn't just hurt in the moment, but it's almost like it creates a fork in the road of your thinking path.
Yeah.
And from that point on, you're always in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
Because you are now skewed in the direction of, this is how the world works. You know, I have to avoid going left. I always have to go right now because this thing about me causes people to feel this way about things.
Yeah, it like changes the way you think. It kind of changes your behavior. Yeah, it just messes you up.
Yes. This was the first like major argument. And like I said, it felt like the end. But then of course, she always would kind of do, usually it'd be like a one-word text, like, hey, it was kind of me taking the first step. And then after that, she would finally be like, oh, well, you know, I really care about you and blah, blah, blah. So to make things, to smooth things out for me, she told me, our lease is up in September. Just wait this out with me. When the lease is up, I'll get my stuff out of the apartment and we'll be done. So I was like, okay, you know, this whole time I've been sitting here trying to juggle this stuff, thinking, when's it going to end? This is going to last forever. And she's giving me a date to look forward to. for a person who is goal-oriented, especially with, you know, the goal being, oh, I can let the world know that I'm in a relationship with somebody I love, it gives you something to really look forward to. I took it and I was like, okay, I can do that. Things kept kind of going in the same way.
So it was kind of like she was just trying to placate you for that moment. It's like, okay, let me make him think that everything's going to be fine. I'm going to do this at this date and kind of, you know, condition you to feel like things are going to be okay. And just to kind of put a little piece of tape over it instead of actually fixing any kind of issue.
Yeah, I mean, it bought her a lot of time because you could tell that I was so determined that if she wouldn't have given me a time, I would have been right back in the same conversation next week.
Yeah, like, and she didn't want to have that conversation again. Yeah.
Yeah, I was very, very determined and I just was not going to drop it. So for her to do that really bought her a lot of time because I was willing to do anything. So if you're telling me to wait 6 months, which was probably about what it was when we had this conversation, I could easily do 6 months and I wouldn't even really complain about it anymore because I knew, like, hey, you know, almost like a job interview, like they're watching, I'm going to try my best and they're going to see that it's all worth it to wait it out for me. So I was like, fine, that's fine. I can do that. It was still a lot of the same situation. She would still have these guys come over, and which was, like I said, was still, you know, still really bothering me. And I just felt like the only way I'm ever going to get this to stop is if I get on this Facebook relationship thing where people can know this isn't a secret.
Yeah.
And it went on a little bit more of the same situation until I was finally hit with another situation with her. So her and her friends, apparently her friend group, they like to go on a float trip. And she told me, hey, I'm going on this float trip and I'll be gone for two or three days. She said, hey, I just want you to know, you know, me and another guy have a tent together and we're going to be sharing that tent together while we're down there.
Well, okay, now I have a question. Why didn't she invite you to go instead of this other guy?
So she told me that her friend group was also friends with the guy that she shared the apartment with. So if I were to go, they would tell apartment guy about me, which then he would be mad. And the guy that she's sharing the tent with is part of that friend group too.
So it's not like it would be weird to this apartment guy that he would be there in a
Correct.
Way. Okay, I gotcha.
So, and that was another thing too. I was like, I'll just go with you. I'll go. And she's like, oh, definitely. Definitely you cannot go. And this is a guy that she had always said like, oh, I know this friend is like in love with me. So it was something that was very, it wasn't just like, oh, hey, it's a guy and you're just jealous. It's like, oh no, this guy really wants to make a move on me and I'm just going to, you know, sleep in the same tent with him. No big deal.
I'm sorry, but I don't like Josie and I don't like this version of her. I know people can change, but this Josie, I do not like at all.
Right. Yeah. It was pretty hard. And they said she also made the line that, hey, we made these plans before you met, so you can't get mad or make me change them or whatever. So I offered to even buy her own tent. I was like, hey, I'll buy you your own tent. And she's like, oh, no, you can't. We can't change the plans. We made a tent arrangement or something. So I rolled with it. I still didn't want to look like some controlling guy. And so she gets on the road and goes, and she texts me and's like, oh, we're on the road to the place, and he's already starting to get handsy with me. And I'm like, well, you gotta say something. You gotta do something about this, or see if you can sleep in somebody else's tent or something. And she's like, nah, I already made the agreement. I'm just gonna stick with it. And I'm like, wait, what? Are you really uncomfortable about this or what? Because
yeah, it's like, why are you telling me if you aren't going to take my advice and try to do something? At least stay in a tent with your girlfriend or you. There's so many other options than
right,
to stay in the
gonna
tent.
Stick it, yeah, see it through is what she was going to do.
My God.
So I'm getting worked up at this point. And then, of course, she does that thing like she does when she's hanging out with other guys. It's like her phone just gets shut off. She's not answering my calls. She's not replying to my texts. I'm just kind of screaming into the universe for nothing. And I ended up having my first panic attack in this moment.
Oh, no.
I kind of just lost it. I was a ball of just tears and emotions. And I didn't really know what to do because I didn't really know exactly where they were going. I wasn't going to drive down there. I'm definitely not that kind of guy. But I just felt just unsafe and just kind of lost. I just had so much emotion and energy just like swirling in me, and I didn't know what to do. And I mean, this was like the morning before work, and I just call my mom, and I'm just like bawling into the phone, which my mom gets so confused by, because she's like, "You're my strongest child. I'm really confused. Like, I didn't even know you were sad. Like, nobody knew anything was going on all the time." And like, of course, another reason I couldn't really have a conversation about this with my guy friends either, because I would just say like, "Oh yeah, I didn't show up, and so she's got this other guy over, and it kind of upsets me." And of course, any other guy friends can be like, "What's your problem? Like, are you stupid? Like, why are you putting up with this?"
That's one thing I was going to ask you. You know, were you talking to your friends? What were your friends saying?
I didn't talk. I mean, I think I had like one of my friends that was a girl that I kind of shared the story with. But no, for the most part, I didn't really talk to anybody about it until after this point. Because once the panic attack happened and everything just boiled over, it was just like, you know, I broke the seal, and emotions were just pouring everywhere. And so my family knew that I was like going, I was super depressed and upset. So everybody knew, because at that point I was a lump. I couldn't do anything without crying. I was like crying in the shower and just like, "I'll try to get myself to work." And like, "No, I can't." Like, I drove all the way to my parents' house and just like cried on their couch. And my dad's just like, we come from like the country, and so mental health is not really a thing people talk about. It's kind of a stigma, like it's kind of a stigma around it. It's like, "Oh, I heard this person's got depression and they're on some kind of
exactly.
pills."
Uh-huh. And any kind of issue, whether it's mental or whatever, everything stays at home. Nothing leaves this house. You don't talk about it. It's very much that.
Yeah.
The gossip about, "Oh, yeah. You know, just like you said, oh, I heard she's on medication. You know, something's wrong with her."
Yes. And so my family was so blown away by this, because they're just like, "Well, you're normal. Like, why are you, you can't have depression because you're a normal kid. Like, you do things." I'm like, "Yeah." And so like, even to me, I was like, maybe I don't have a problem. I don't know what's wrong with me here. So my dad was kind of like trying to get to the bottom of it and ask me all these questions. My brain was so warped in believing everything that she told me that, no, there's nothing wrong with her, because she's not doing anything shady, because she's telling me up front. So if I have a problem, I'm some kind of controlling guy who just cannot live with the fact that my girlfriend could be sleeping in the same bed as somebody or sharing a tent with another guy on a drinking night.
I mean, now looking back on it, of course, you see things differently. Right. But when you're in it, you start to believe there is something wrong with me. It's not them. They're clearly pointing it out that there's something wrong with me. So there has to be. This has to be a me issue.
Yeah. And that's what it was. My dad's sitting there trying to ask me these questions. It's like, and my dad would have to like pump me hard for these questions, because I would give him like 10% of the truth and 90% of like this self-talk that she gave me. So I would say, "Oh, well, I'm really nervous about this, and she's with this guy, and I'm upset because I don't know what this guy is going to do. But at the same time, I'm also just, you know, really upset because I'm asking her to throw me a lifeline and she won't." But of course, my dad, I'm not going to say that to my dad, because I also want my family to like her, because she also seems like a person who is like, "Oh, I want people to like me." So I can't go telling my family everything about her, because then they're going to be like, "Why are you with this awful person?"
Exactly. And you always want your parents to like the person you're
yes.
with. And even if they're awful, like, we don't really see that, but we know in the back of our mind, well, something must be wrong, because if I tell my parents these things or my friends, they're gonna think I'm crazy and why am I with this person? So it's a mental tug of war.
Yes. She was also the type to where I was always doing things with her and her friend, but it was very rare for me to get her to do things with me and my friends or my family. So if she knew that my family knew anything bad about her, then she would say, "I don't want to go over there anymore because I know that they don't like me." So it was another reason why I was like, I need everything to be super welcoming for her, because I don't get her to do much of what I want to do anyway. So I need to make sure that, you know, my family is always rolling out the red carpet for her. So she ended up coming back from the trip, and she said she missed me and she was very sad and blah, blah, blah. But she did say that on that night, the guy got a little too drunk and made some sort of a move on her. it's like one of those things where your brain is kind of telling you the future and you're like, I cannot think negative. I cannot think negative. Think positive thoughts. Yeah. But then you're like deep down, you're like, I don't care how positive I think. I know exactly how this is going to go. And so when she told me that, it was just like every fear I had was right. I had every right to be scared and upset about it. And you just proved it. I still never really got the full story on it. But again, she reiterated, you can't be mad at me because I'm telling you about it. And so once again, I guess I couldn't be mad. And then, of course, the love bombing thing would still happen. If I would ever start to feel a little bit better, she would find some other way to like kind of mess it up or whatnot. And then at this point, I was starting to open up to the fact that, hey, I've really got some emotional issues here because now my family's dragged into it. My friends are dragged into it. So I'm just like, don't you see like how upset I am all the time? Like, don't you see I'm just so hurt and everything? And then that's when she started telling me, well, you're just really sensitive. And I think you've been depressed for a very long time and you should probably do something about that. I was at the age where I was just starting to get a good grip on my mental health and understanding it better.
Yeah.
Looking back, yeah, I probably was depressed from ages like 18 on, but I was always able to get things done. I wasn't crying all over myself. I was just kind of low energy.
Yeah, it wasn't debilitating for the longest time.
Yeah, I had never been
her.
Yeah, I had never had a debilitating depression thing in my life. I was always just kind of really self-conscious and didn't get a lot done. But she's trying to say, oh, you've always been like this. I could tell when I met you. Like, you should probably do something about that because you're too sensitive and it's making this really hard on me. And so I was like, wow, maybe you're right. Like, maybe, because I'm like a super open-minded person. I was like, well, what can I do to make this better? Maybe what I need to do to get the fact that these guys are always coming over to stop hurting me, maybe I should just make myself not feel the fact that these guys are hurting me. Instead of being mad at her for it, I should just find a way to deal better. So I thought, okay, maybe it is me. Maybe it is my problem I need to work out with. So she pretty much, and she was going to school or did go to school for like psychology or therapy or something. And so she said, go to a therapist, tell them you've been depressed forever. Tell them you've been upset about this and that you're just too sensitive with this situation. Yeah, you're probably right. Like, I should probably do something about this.
This episode is sponsored by Athletic Greens. With one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food-sourced superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging. It's lifestyle friendly. Whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, or gluten-free, there's less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs, no nasty chemicals, or artificial anything, while still tasting good. You'll get better sleep, better recovery, better mental clarity, and alertness. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free year of supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase at athleticgreens.com/emerging. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/emerging to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
So I went to therapy and I talked to a therapist and I told him, I was basically just like a scripted out thing like, hey, I've been depressed forever and it's really spewing into my relationship and I'm making things harder and like, I don't want to lose this person, but I just can't stop being emotional about things when my girlfriend is doing things that are totally okay. I just can't handle them. And of course, my therapist was like, well, I can kind of tell in the sound of your voice, you sound really sad and depressed. It's like, you probably should get on some kind of medication. So then I got referred to a psychiatrist and then I ended up getting put on medication. It didn't take too long. I was on Lexapro. You know, I started feeling a little bit better. My emotions were a lot more like tampered down, which as they should be.
Yeah.
And as the time kept going, I would start to feel a little bit better about myself. I was also going to therapy, and after I had started going to my therapist a while, he started kind of poking holes in some of my stories. Mm-hmm. And he would say, wait, what? That's not normal. And I'd be like, no, yeah, she told me it's normal. It's normal. And he's like, I don't know, buddy. I don't think that's normal. And so it started happening a lot more to where he finally saw what was going on. He was like, whoa. Like, but you could tell he was being really careful about it because, you know, I was so tied into it that if he would have been like, this person's awful, I would have been like, guess what? I'm finding a new therapist. She could see that I was doing better. And he would start, you know, throwing these psychology terms at me. He would talk about people with like borderline or people with bipolar disorder. You know, you'll get what's called moving targets where you're always trying to shoot for a specific target and that person's always kind of moving it away from you. He talked a lot about trauma bonding and how he felt that she had probably had some sort of a traumatic past and she had sort of bonded to me, but she just always kind of needed somebody there. Anytime I would try to bring up what I learned in therapy, because this whole thing was kind of backfiring on her. It wasn't at first, but then when I would say, well, it sounds like, I said, maybe some sort of a trauma bonding thing, or maybe because of your trauma. And she was just like, oh no. Like, it, how dare you say that any of this could be because of me or something like that. And like, she would.
Yeah. Did she start blaming the therapist or, you know, because I could see that. I could see her being like, he doesn't know what he's talking
about. That was
about
it. But it was more of like, who do you think you are trying to point out something wrong with me kind of a thing. Like it was.
Oh, it,
she would
goodness.
Flip the switch so quick to where her tone would completely change. And she would just talk like she was so much higher than me, like way better than me. And it was really weird because when I would see that side of her, I would just be like so taken back. Like, what? Like, I am so confused by this. So as I would start feeling better about myself and started getting this medication and everything, she would turn it up. Like, it would sometimes I would get this super, like I was saying, that super stern kind of angry person. And then other times she would have like a panic attack and she would just start like bawling and crying and being like, oh, you're so this to me or so that to me. You know, I had a hard past and you're really like taking it out on me. I feel awful. And you're always reminding me how terrible I am and how I can't make you happy. And I'm like, the only thing I'm upset about is just you with these guys. Then she's turning it around on me and just being like, how come you're treating me like this? Why are you doing this? And so then
it's
like,
a lot of projecting.
Yes. And so it was a big thing for me where I was just like, I'm a bad guy. Like, why am I such a bad guy to this girl? Like, why am I doing this to her? And so it would be anytime I would feel better, she would find a way to get worse and worse like that, which would, what would happen to me is I still felt that there was an end game in mind. I still needed to make it to September and I still needed to fix why her actions were hurting me so much. So every time it would happen, I would make an emergency appointment to that psychiatrist and I would say, we got to turn up the dial. I got to get more. I'm feeling too much still. I need to feel happier. And so I think I went back and like raised my dosages. It had to have been like 3 different times. I was just like so numb to everything because I just, and the thing is, I wasn't like feeling my emotions the same, but I was never happy.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like the medication makes you have happy thoughts. It just makes you not overran with emotion. But like I said, she would kind of turn things up on me and whatnot. So we finally got to September. And I tell you, we had so many off and on breakups from just different things. Because I would be like, this is the breaking point. And then, of course, like a day later, I'd be like, oh, I'm sorry. September was rolling around and she texted him to just, she said, I need to set a time so we can discuss moving out. And so I thought, this is finally it. You go, girl.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I got all my, go up there and you talk to him and you get this sorted out.
Yeah.
And so she did. And once again, the whole night, she was like, I'm really nervous. I'm really scared. Like texting me, trying to get like work built up to do it. And then it was just radio silence. I never got a text back for the rest of the night. I called her and my phone calls got ignored. I didn't hear her again until the next morning. I'm thinking at this point, did he try to like hurt her? Like, what happened in the situation? I have no idea. I hear from her the next morning and she said, oh, we didn't really talk about moving out or getting our stuff. We just got dinner and talked. What? I've been waiting this whole time and I thought we were going to make some sort of a move and you literally just went and got dinner? And caught up? Kind of felt so anticlimactic for me to wait like these 6 months and this all this hard battle and like nothing happened. But she said, oh, but we made plans to hang out again soon. What? Again, like blown away.
Yeah. Now, is this supposed to be like a so-called hangout to talk about getting her stuff out? Or was this just going to be them acting like nothing is going on?
From her, it was, he wants to hang out. I'm going to do whatever he wants me to do so I can hopefully sneak in the conversation about moving out. It's like, I'm going undercover and it's going to look like one thing to him. But trust me, for you, I'm trying to help you out.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that just, for me anyway, I can only speak for myself. It follows you throughout your life, and it really, when something happens, it can trigger that feeling that I remember having back in my early 20s. I mean, I'm almost 35, and you know, something can happen and I'll be like, whoa, I remember feeling that way 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Those kind of things just stay with you. And another thing about her turning off her phone or just ignoring you, the silent treatment in itself is an abusive tactic. You're ignoring a person to try to hurt them, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate that.
Yeah, that was a thing too. I never got the reasons behind it, but to me, I felt like this was also to teach me a lesson. But also, it's not like we were fighting leading up to the point for them to hang out. I was always really encouraging when I probably shouldn't have been. I'm like, oh, hey, go hang out with the guy. I encourage you because I hope you have that conversation. We weren't fighting, so there was no reason for me to get the silent treatment, really. But part of me did kind of feel like, and I just feel it in like my soul. I know every time my text came up, I know every time the phone rang, I know she saw it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was a teach me a lesson or what. I think a lot of it, too, I think she felt very guilty about what she was doing, too, which I think is why it was so hard for her to answer me sometimes. I think she just had to go hide for a little while, then come back to it, because she's kind of essentially leading like two or three different lives between three different people. So it's almost like she needs like a hard reset in between it. They had hung out again, and once again, it was like, oh, yeah, we brushed over the conversation. And I'm like, wow, you guys are moving out like the 21st or something, like the end of this month. How many times are you guys going to hang out in this month before the clock, you know, strikes? Like, you got to get your stuff out of that apartment. So we were together on one weekend and we get woke up startled by a phone ringing. Okay, so the phone goes off and she goes, oh, shit, it's my ex. And I'm like, oh, okay. And before I'm like, what's he want? Like, why is he calling? It's like 3 a.m. We're just getting woke up. She picks up her phone, looks at me, and quickly in this tone just says, don't you fucking say a word. And I'm like,
mm-mm.
Whoa, like I just got woke up out of a dead sleep and I'm being told, like, and this was just such a stern, like, you sit still. And so I listened to her answer this phone, and on the other end of the phone was the guy that she lived with, and he was crying his eyes out, and he was just like, oh, why won't you just take me back? Why can't we just be back together? Oh, I'm so hurt that you left me. And all this other stuff. And this guy is just like ugly crying on the phone. It was an over an hour phone call. I know it. Here I am listening to my girlfriend console the guy that she left while laying in the bed with me, while still being in a Facebook relationship with this guy who she has now been separated from for about 9 months. And it's just like, what a weird, tangled situation. But not only that, I have so much empathy for her situation that I am afraid to breathe too loudly because I might give her away. I took the words that she told me and I was quiet. I didn't want to upset her. So it was really messed up on both of our ends. Me and this guy are both getting screwed pretty hard.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, he's over here crying and, you know, sometimes you're upset and she's just here in the middle. She wants these different people and these situations all at the same time. And you just cannot do that to people.
No, I was just dying on the inside listening. I'm listening to this guy who's getting upset about something she's doing while I'm upset about something she's doing. She's not going to do anything to console me because she's too busy trying to console this guy. So here I am just stuck and just stuffing it down more and more inside of me. You could tell that she was wrestling with that guilt. And it would happen a lot when we would hang out that she would just kind of go into a little, like, she would just go inside herself and just like not speak for a while.
Because it's like she knows deep down every once in a while, like it hits her that, wow, this is really fucked up of me.
Yes.
But it's like she can't stop.
Yes. And so this just kept happening, except they were still, now they were kind of seeing each other sometimes, which was really weird. Eventually, I was like, you've got to do something. Like, you literally have to move in like a week. And she did. She finally went and talked to him. She broke up with him. said, okay, I've got my stuff. The apartment's done. And she got some of her stuff back. Then it was over. The Facebook relationship was done and she was considered single. So now I'm like, okay, can we be in a relationship? And she's like, no, we cannot. Because how weird would that look if I just got out of this relationship with this guy for all these years? And it will still really upset him. Even though he is broken up and sad, it will upset him more to see me with somebody else now.
I can't imagine you being like, well, screw his feelings. I would just assume, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, that maybe you felt for him a little bit.
I did feel for him a little bit. But at the same time, I was getting a lot of a backstory from her about how he was kind of controlling, too. So I was like, well, he's kind of a bad guy, too, because you're telling me he's a bad guy. And I will say I've been fighting the good fight for like 8 months, 6 months, whatever. It was kind of cutthroat. You know, I just wanted what I wanted. I did feel empathy, but not as much as I do now. But at the time, it was really just I was so goal and oriented. And it was just like I'm sitting here pumping myself with all of these pills to numb myself because all I want is for this girl to tell people that she loves me. That's all I want. I probably did not care as much for him because to me, he was, you know, kind of the gatekeeper. He was sort of standing in my way, especially when that was always the excuse. What about him? What about this? Now that we're single, his feelings will be hurt. He's still the guy in my way. So after this had happened, no, I'm going to stay single on Facebook. Yes, we're still dating. But also, she's still very guilt-stricken again. She wanted to quit her old job, get another job, and I was just like, you can do it. I believe in you. And I kind of helped her get this job that she liked, and she was working with kids. And so in this town, they had a parade. And so she was helping round up the kids for the parade, and she was there to represent the place that she worked. And so before we had plans, I was going to go and sit there, and I was just going to like wave at her and the parade, I guess, and just be like, hey, I support you. Look, yeah. You got this job that you wanted. And I'm here to support you doing your parade. And again, she was still guilt-stricken from getting her stuff and breaking things off with this guy that I didn't hear from her all that night. I didn't hear from her all that morning. I was like, hey, am I still coming to meet you at the parade? Nothing. I called her, texted her, nothing. And this is totally not me. I just went there anyway. I'm usually a person who needs to be like told it's okay to go somewhere before I go somewhere. But I went. I saw her in the parade and she saw me and she quickly looked away and just kept doing her own thing. After it was all over, I kind of went walking towards her. And she had already jumped in her car and drove off and sent me a text and said, don't you come to my house.
So how did that make you feel?
Oh, I felt, wow, I wasted my time. Like, I came here to support you on this thing. Like, I thought this is supposed to be like a happy day for you. I mean, I know it's just a stupid parade, but, I was still showing support for, her job. But she didn't want me to show up. And I know that she just had that best friend over there, the girlfriend. They were just hanging out because, like I said, she always was just like attached to her. And so I drove all the way back home and she called me probably like 3 hours later. It was later in the evening. She said she had been feeling guilty and about everything she was doing and was considering being completely single and actually like for real breaking up with me. I was scared at the time to be told like, oh, I'm going to be done with this. And I'm like, wait, I waited 6 months. I did all this other stuff. Like, this can't be the end of it. Out of desperation, I just rambled. I said like all these things like, oh, I can see a future with us together. I can see this. I can see that. I love you and all this. And I just really don't want to give up on us. And it just went on forever. A very long time. I guarantee you I went on a whole hour with only talking. I was building her up and telling her all this stuff. And I remember there was even getting a point towards the end where I stopped and was like, are you still there? I haven't even heard an uh-huh in forever. And I told her, I was like, I never really felt like I got a chance with you because I've been like waiting for the right situation or for it to be a full relationship. And I just felt like I was being ignored. And I was like, well, I'm not getting a response. I guess I'll go. And she was like, oh, no, sorry. I've been listening. I've just been taking it all in. She said, okay, we can stay together. I'll take a quick break from the story here to kind of give a little bit more of a background on her. So she had told me that she was abused by a family member when she was younger. And I don't want this to come off as if, I'm saying anything is bad about people who have been abused. That kind of trauma can kind of lead to causing trauma to other people in the future, too. It's a vicious cycle.
Some people fall victim to that while other people don't. It's such a toss-up how people are going to grow up when they experience abuse and neglect or whatever, negative thing as a child. and how they're going to go through life and carry that. Either they're going to be super cautious and making sure that they never make people feel like that, or they let it kind of take over them to where they do treat people like that.
Yes.
It's just such a toss-up.
It's kind of like how we talked about earlier with it warps your brain and it kind of like puts a fork in the road. And it's sometimes a family like that, you know, sometimes the way they show that they love each other is to be completely awful to each other.
100%.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's not how I was raised at all. And it's very confusing for somebody like me to step into that world. So her mother was incredibly unstable. Her mother was bad, wild. She could turn into like a 12-year-old throwing a fit in no time. And she was like in her mid-50s. It was the wildest thing. Took her out on her birthday once. She threw a big fit because we didn't take her out for ice cream afterwards. I literally had to drive a 50 something year old woman to the drive-thru of Wendy's to get her ice cream after we took her to a fancy dinner because she was mad she didn't get dessert. Arms crossed, like throwing her back into the chair really hard. Like, I'm talking child.
Stop. Oh my God.
So she would tell me these wild stories about her past that kind of felt untrue. I couldn't really prove a lot of them. I believed what she said, but a lot of them kind of got a little wild. So she always had that friend hang around her. And so she had this really unstable mom. She had the friend that was always like tied to her. And then like I knew her dad too, who was separated from her mom, but I knew that family too. But those were the only people that actually knew I existed. Anytime she would get mad at me, she would say something about me to her unstable mom and to her close friend and to her other family. And so anytime I would hang out with them, I was always in this very little group of people, and those people always knew all this bad stuff I had just done or whatever I did to make her upset. So then I would show up in these situations where the family would be like, why haven't you just left this guy, this awful guy that makes you feel bad all the time? So here I am walking in looking like an asshole all the time. And like,
and while you're trying to do the opposite, like trying to make your parents feel like this is a great girl and everything, and she's just over here. Just slandering your name.
And I would, Jesus. Every time I would walk in, I could just feel like daggers, just people just shooting daggers at me, staring at me like, why is this awful guy here? Like, I'm going to be nice, but I know that this guy makes her feel awful all the time. And it's like, I'm just trying to kind of push her to do a little better by me. She was in control of how everybody was viewing me. And it was such a small group that it was really easy for me to do something, her to feel hurt by me doing something nice. Like when I bought her flowers or would do something like that, it would hurt her because it would remind her of what she's doing. It would make her feel guilty. Then she would tell her family that I did something that make her feel bad. And they're like, why is my daughter always sad all the time because of you? In my eyes, I'm doing nice things. When I was dating her, everything was opposite. Good was bad. Being nice was being mean. Being mean was being nice. Up was down. Down was up. And that was just everything for me. And it just really confused me for such a long time. I also will say that because of the abusive background and everything, she had lost interest in wanting to have sex. You know, as a 24-5-year-old guy, I, you know, it sucked. And also just after losing 100 pounds and feeling, you know, I've still deal with some body dysmorphia issues, it's hard not to take it personally. But I also always had like the best intentions in mind. And I was like, okay, if you never want to have sex again, I don't care. You know, we can live, be together forever, and I just want to be with you and I can make it work. It's not a big deal. So I was like, I was never pushy about it. So I want to say that it was a thing that kind of made me feel bad too, but it wasn't like a big decider.
And I think that's totally normal. You know, not even if you hadn't have, you know, been in the situation where the weight was an issue for you, I think just as a 20-something, you know, in general, and being told, I don't want to have sex for this X, Y, and Z reason, I think it's kind of a downer for any 20-something-year-old. You know, you want to empathize with this person, but it's like that age, your hormones are just out of control. Right. At the same time.
And it was just another thing that was, I didn't need any more negative going against how I was feeling in this relationship. You know, I can't help but feel like it's personal towards me, especially when she's like having all these guys stay the night. And I really don't think that she was ever actually cheating. I don't really know. I really don't think she was, but you never really know.
Yeah.
So anyway, back to the story. So we had just gotten back together after I had gone on this huge crying spree for like an hour over the phone. After we had gotten back together, we were talking one night, and she had said something about how when I would get really emotional, upset in an angry way or in a sad way, my voice would always kind of drop an octave, and I would sound really gruff when I was crying and heavily emotional. And I was like, okay, thanks. Like, let's not talk about a time where I was feeling emotional. Let's not for me. Like, I'm trying to move past that one. And exactly. She was like, yeah, well, it's really sexy when you sound like that. And I'm like, what? Like, okay. Like, why are we having this conversation?
Right.
And so as the conversation goes on a little bit more, she starts kind of treating it like a flirty foreplay with me. And she says, so you remember that day after the parade when you called me? And I said, yeah. She said, well, your voice just sounded so sexy while you were crying and, like, talking to me. She said, I was just really turned on and I was actually masturbating the whole time.
Wow.
The whole time you were talking. And I was just like, what? Like, yeah. I was blown away. I was like, that's why you didn't answer? Like, I needed some sort of verbal confirmation. That's why I felt like an idiot rambling for an hour. And, like, you weren't listening? I mean, you were touching yourself while listening to me be sad? Like, what?
Yeah, like this... it's like those men that are like, oh, she's so pretty when she cries, and they kind of get off to that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's the whimpering or the tears, like, I don't know, but oh my god, that is just sad.
Yeah, and like, this, that's why I brought up the sex thing before, because I couldn't get her to ever want to have sex, but she's telling me that, like, oh, well, you know, I was rubbing one out while you were, like, really sad.
Yeah.
Well, you never want to have sex with me, and now the only time you're turned on is when I'm, like, breaking down? I was so offended and so mad. And she was just like, well, I thought you'd find that sexy. I thought you'd like that. I'm like, not in
what world, Josie? Like, I cannot stand her.
Yeah, if something else was going on, that would be fine. If you were like, oh, you know, you were singing in the shower or something, that's fine. Yeah. But not when I'm telling you that, like, I'm pouring my heart all over the place and, like, trying to,
right,
all I wanted in that and plus I just felt bad because, like, I felt like a total idiot going on for an hour, like, saying all this stuff, and when I was getting no response, I was like, oh, you don't feel the same.
Yeah,
it's like, oh no, that's not why. In a sense, you weren't listening to me. It was awful. I was getting more help through therapy, but she just kept finding these situations that kind of throw and make things difficult. And
I'm kind of curious as to what your therapist at this point is talking to you about and what they may be guiding you to do, or you may not be able to remember, because I know it's been a long time ago and sometimes we do forget these things.
Yeah, I'll be honest, like, as I was telling you earlier, these bullet points, I had to, like, trace and connect the dots myself, remembering a lot of the details, because it's just been so long. My brain literally has blocked so much of this out. I mean, also, it doesn't help that I had, you know, was taking so many of those medications, and I know I had some blackouts in there, especially because I was depressed and I would drink a little bit here and there, and I would have some evenings where, you know, it doesn't mix well. So, like I said, she kept finding these situations to throw at me. There was one time where I don't remember exactly what had happened, but she was just like, she would always call me, like, an abandoner, or say that I had abandoned her. And anytime that I would be like, I can't take what you're doing to me anymore, it's hurting me so bad, I need to just go, there would be times where I'd just be like, I need to just leave for the night because I'm getting worked up. And then she would just be like, why did you abandon me like that? You know, I have abandonment issues because of this and this, and you abandoned me like that. And so then I would feel awful. And so one night she had, it was her and her friend were over, and we went and did something. She gave me the silent treatment the whole time. And her and her friend would, like, have a conversation and then, like, snap their heads over and look at me and just be like, yeah, that asshole over there. Like, it was almost like I was spending the day with them just to be, like, verbally abused. It was like, you're not a part of our, you're hanging out with us, but you're not a part of our fun because you did bad and you need to learn a lesson for what you did. So I remember they were, like, sitting on the bed because we were always in her bedroom. And so they were laying on the bed, and I was, like, kind of on my own little corner of the bed, wishing I could leave, but knowing that if I did, I would be looked at like I was some sort of a bad guy for leaving. Even though I was just getting, like I said, they were just, like, shooting their looks at me and saying these bad things about me.
You can't even leave to kind of take care of your own mental health at this point, or she'll say, you're abandoning me, which is just putting more on top of you. It drives me insane.
Yes, it's rough. Her friend eventually left at the end of the night, and then she was, like, really pissed at me because she was like, oh, you weren't really a lot of fun trying to sit there and act sad and try to get pity or something. And I'm like, no, you guys were being total dicks the whole time. I was like, actually, you know what? I don't know why I've literally sat through an entire day and night of this, but now that your friend's gone, I'm gonna leave too. Like, I'm like, once again, I guess we're breaking up again. So then she ended up having like this crazy panic attack meltdown, like blood-curdling screams. I remember she was like on her knees on her bed and was just like, well, if you want to hit me, then hit me. And if you leave that room, we're breaking up. And I'm like, I'm not actually trying to break up. I just want to leave.
Remove myself from this situation.
And so she was screaming in my face. And I remember her mom had run down the stairs and like busted open the door and was just like, you need to go now. Get out. Like, I don't know what you're doing to my daughter, but you need to quit doing what you're doing. And it was just like one of those things where just like it killed me on the inside to see that serious on edge look on her mom's face because of something that I was quote unquote doing. It was one of those things again where it just kind of reiterated that feeling like I'm a bad guy. I'm a monster. I'm doing these awful things to this person. I was getting that reinforcement from all of the people around her. No matter how much I would try to tell myself, hey, I think I'm doing better, I would step back into a world where everybody shared her perspective of me. And so everybody said, you are bad or you're awful for what you're doing to her. I actually probably didn't end up leaving that night. So, weirdly enough, I think she changed her attention to her mom to calm her mom down and then ended up staying. But of course, like her mom was just so done with me because all of this mess was, you know, it was always surrounded by me, but it's like, okay, not really me. But there was one time where she was super worked up about something and she had compared me to her abuser and said that I was the exact same as her abuser, except she said we were both good looking and we always knew the exact right words to say, but we would only come around to hurt people. But the only difference was I was worse because I made her actually believe that I meant what I said. Another thing that really just tore me apart because I was thinking the person that most likely is the reason that you have these issues and I'm being compared to that, it was just awful. I tried to talk to her stepmom about something else that she was doing. Like I was like, there was like a point where my therapist was like, I think she needs to get some help. And I was like, well, yeah, she probably does.
Yeah, but I can't tell her that or she will blow a fuse, man.
Yeah. So I tried to tell her mom that, not her mom, the unstable mom, but her stepmom, who was like a sweet woman. I guess I probably should have known better. I reached out and was like, I think Josie's having some issues and she needs to kind of work on this. And she's like, oh, that's funny because she showed me this text that you sent about this. So it sounds like you have the problem, Trevin. And I'm like, damn. Like, I was like, I thought that I was going to like the sweetest, most like sound person out of the situation. And she had already beat me to it. At that point, I don't really remember what was the thing that finally ended it. We broke up and I was like, good, I think I can stay away from her. We had bought a couple concert tickets in the future. I kept one set and she kept the other set. It was two different shows. Well, around the time that one of the shows was about to come on, it was a Beck concert. It was Beck with Willie Nelson. And
nice.
Yeah, it was a pretty good show. And it was right after his Morning Phase album came out. And I loved Morning Phase. She knew that concert was coming up. And so a month had gone by. We literally didn't speak. And not too long before that concert, I was already trying to figure out who's going to be my plus one. I had a couple of close friends that I was going to ask. She comes out of nowhere and was just like, oh, hey, I've been thinking about us. Oh, I've been upset.
Oh,
and
God.
She had done, and I'm sure it really threw all my friends and family off because I went a solid month. You know, they were like, this is it. We finally got away from it. And she said, oh, I've just been thinking about us and blah, blah, blah. We ended up getting it back together just in time for her to go with me to that Beck concert. I told my best friend, I said, you can't go, man. I gotta take Josie. We're gonna make this work. So we went, and she had talked to me in the car and said she had done some dating in that very long month, whatever. But she would kind of tell me that and still kind of say it in a way of like, well, because of the way you left me that you did,
yeah,
I had the right to kind of be dating.
Yeah, since it was your fault.
Yeah, since you did that to me, I had every okay to do it. If you were dating in that time, that would have been really messed up. But what else was I going to do? You abandoned me. I had noticed that the whole time we were at this concert, she was like texting, like on her phone like crazy. She had said she was talking to some dude from like England or something, and they went on like a date or two or something. And then there was this other phone number that she had talked to. A funny thing too that she had done, well, she had set her phone to where, when this is while we were dating, like before this mess, had set her phone to where you get a text message and it has like a name where it says like mom and then it shows a little bit of the text message. She had set a setting in her phone to where it just said new message received. It would never give, it would never say who the number was and it would never give a little bit of like a peek at what the message said. She had done that a long time ago, and
that's so sketchy.
It's super sketchy. But even when I would call it out, she was just like, oh, it's just how I like it, or something stupid like that. And of course, you know, I was in such a self-conscious place. Yeah, I was always trying to look out the corner of my eye, like, who is she texting out of curiosity, you know? Fast forward, we're back at the Beck concert. She's texting this guy. His name's in the phone, and it's this English guy or whatever. But she's also texting this other number. And the weird thing is, this number that she's texting, I'm looking out because she's right next to me and she's not paying attention to the concert. She's texting this number, and it's just a bunch of numbers. She never put the name in the phone. And so I've been seeing her swap between English guy and this other number while being in the at the concert. So we're riding home, and we get to the driveway. She stops and is like texting again, and I'm like, wow, that is so rude. And it's like, you're almost asking me to say something, because why are you doing that in front of me? And of course, when I was calling out her texting the English guy, she was like, you know, like I said, oh, you abandoned me, so I've been dating and just kind of keeping casual conversation. Like, well, you don't need to do that in front of me. That's kind of messed up. So I finally was like, okay, what's this random number you're calling? Like, why? Because I'm kind of OCD about things, so I'm like, put the damn number in your phone.
Yeah.
Like, come yeah. on. Do you have this number memorized? How do you know you don't get a random text from another number and you think it's that person? And she says, oh, I just haven't got around to it yet. I'm like, so who is it? So then she tells me that the girlfriend that's always hanging around, she had always been, like, perpetually single all the time because she had her heart broken by this guy a long, long time ago. The guy that she was texting was actually that guy that had, like, broke her best friend's heart. And I'm like, whoa, like, that is so fucked up. Like, why are you talking to that guy? Don't do that to your best friend. Like, she's always tagging along with you and can't seem to date anybody because she's got all these issues because of this dude that she was in love with or whatever. And it's like, you're texting him? Why? Of all the people. And then she gets defensive with me and is like, this isn't shady. And plus, I knew him first anyway. That was like such a turning point.
She does. Oh, my gosh. She doesn't even care about her best friend's feelings. It's just all what she wants. And that's all that matters to her is getting what she wants and getting that attention. And it is just so narcissistic, and like everything's got to be about me and what I feel and what I want.
So that was, and plus I had already realized in that month that we had been apart, I didn't have a lot of those awful feelings anymore. I was like, wait a minute. It finally kind of hit me. I was just like, those bad feelings were all triggered by her. I thought, I want to go back to how everything was feeling over the last month before this. That was like the nail in the coffin there. Was like, that's your best friend. Like, I may be the worst person in the world, but that's your best friend who is like literally like attached to you.
And somebody that has put up with you for so long. Like, I hate to put it that way, but, you know, this girl has really been there through everything. Yes.
And so that was the point where I just said, I'm done. I couldn't have been more done in that point, because it just showed me that this person had years and years of friendship, more than I ever had. She never said too many bad things about her friend. So I thought, man, if the way she talks about me, like, there's no hope. There's no hope for me here, because I don't even have that kind of a history, and look at what she's doing to her best friend. I ghosted her completely. I never answered a text, nothing. It looked like we were going back into our same habits of trying to date again, and I thought, before we even went and saw that concert, I was kind of like, okay, we'll see each other probably later this weekend too, blah, blah, blah. But after that, I was like, no, never again. It was the Friday before Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day was on Saturday, I think. I said, I'm going to get a cat, because I've always loved cats, and I said, a cat will never let me live in someone else's house and leave an apartment vacant because I'll want to take care of that animal. So that, I was like, this guy will keep me, he will keep me accountable and never let me on a whim just leave my house alone again. Yeah. So I did. I went out, and there was a Casey Pet Project as a animal saving place around here, and I adopted a cat on Valentine's Day. And aww, that was my little love, and he was the mascot and the start of my healing journey of understanding my mental health better and just getting my life back in check.
That is so sweet.
Yeah, I'm a huge cat guy now. I've always been, but
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, animals are better than people, you know, and
yeah,
it's just something to also give you that love, and it's very therapeutic to be around them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so happy for you.
Thank you. Yeah, it was It led to a lot of growth. I hate that it happened, but like I got my music picked back up again. I wrote an entire album based off the whole thing just to make myself feel better. It was really just freeing to kind of find myself in that. And, you know, there's always been other hiccups along the way, but that was a huge turning point. Actually, Josie just got married yesterday. I just found that out. I was flipping through Facebook last night and saw that.
I just wonder if she's changed or, you know, I wonder about even my own abusive exes sometimes. I just wonder, are they that same, like, piece of shit? Or did they change? Or, like, are they treating someone good? Because I just don't like the thought of anybody going through any kind of mental or emotional, psychological stress that these relationships really do put you through. And your mind can be forever changed by things like this. Things just a silent treatment or gaslighting, love bombing, manipulation, all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it seems like it's just such a small thing that they've done, it still just changes your whole mindset.
Oh, yeah. It would take a long time because I wanted to jump right back into dating because I was like, I want to do this better, but I just couldn't do it because I was always self-conscious or anytime somebody wouldn't get back to me quick enough, I'd be like, oh, why are they doing this to me? And like, then, you know, you look like the kind of crazy guy and people start seeing the red flags on you. And it's like, oh, I'm just trying to get better. Like, I'm not like this.
I know. It's hard because I know that I feel like, unfortunately, just from being treated that way for so many years in a row, I feel like I accidentally took on some of the traits, the toxic traits that these people had. Mm-hmm. When you're around that behavior for so long, it just messes with the mind in such ways. I don't know. Well, I'll never understand it.
Yeah, I will never fully understand it either. I'm so in tune with, you know, my mental side and everything like that. I'm a huge mental health advocate now. I want, you know, anybody who has issues, just go see a therapist, you know, go get help. If people are still working on themselves, you know, sometimes they need to work on themselves alone or, you know, take that time. Looking back now, and I've been thinking more about it, especially since making this bullet point and thinking about it, there was a time after it was all done, like when I made my album, I was just trying to like vent and feel better. But at the same time, you know, some of it was also just like wanting to get my story out. And I wasn't really afraid if people knew what she did because I didn't care. You know, I didn't care anymore at that point because if for the longest time, I thought she was just an evil person. You know, I know that other guy ended up being a huge wreck. He had a lot of mental issues, too, after that. You know, think about it from his perspective. They probably had some weird argument or whatever, and she just left and never talked to him for months and months, then just comes out of the blue, goes on a couple dinner dates with him or whatever, breaks up with him and says she's been seeing a guy the whole time. And apparently that guy was waiting for her to come back because he thought she was just taking some time. So at the time, I thought he was like my enemy and I don't really care. He's part of the story for sure, but I'm not even all that mad at her anymore. Like, there was times where I would have to ask myself, like, why am I doing this? What's the reason behind me putting this album out? Like, most of it is me trying to get over it and trying to get my story out there. But then another part of me also probably just wanted people to know, you know, what she had did to me. I'm digging this up now and having this conversation with you now. And I can tell that 100%, I don't want anybody to think anything badly about her. And I don't want... This is not in any way trying to say that Josie is a bad person, and I'm not trying to just say, and then she did this, and then she did that, and then she did this. It's just, it just kind of shows, there's been a lot of growth for me, but also I just want to show that these things start small, and they start, you know, from humble beginnings, and then they just, they pile on, and eventually, you know, it's like a TV show. You watch a TV show and it's like people have certain character traits and it's okay. But then by like the 10th season, you're like, everybody's kind of a caricature of themselves. And you're like, this is a little too extra and stupid for me now. That is how these situations start. It's all good. And then by the end of it, you've got somebody like on their knees screaming in your face saying, hit me. And if you leave this room, we're breaking up. And you have somehow just been the frog in like the boiling water to that point where in your perspective, this isn't really a big jump anymore. But if anybody else was watching from the outside, they would say, holy hell, I would run from that. And it's like, no, I can't.
Yeah, because sometimes it goes so gradually and so slowly, it just hits a point where it's not like it came on all of a sudden. You've slowly been conditioned to kind of deal with the other little things along the way that it just seems normal, unfortunately.
Yeah, and as I said, I think I was also just in a very susceptible place for something like that to happen. I was at a very naive spot. I was just like, I am now able to do anything and the world is my oyster. And then I was like, I can fall in love and do this and jump in with both feet, you know, and nobody would ever want to just do something to hurt me. And I don't think that was her intentions, but, you know, she had issues too. And that a lot of those situations where there is abuse in a relationship, or there is, you know, you hear murder stories and stuff like that all the time, like just people are just, they're made that way through something that happened in their upbringing. And I guess that's something that I always had to struggle with myself on before, was when I would share the story or talk about it. And maybe some of it is kind of a guilt thing that she still kind of put on me. When I put my album out, she had listened to it. At the time, I had looked at her Facebook, and she was like putting little Facebook statuses out there because she knew I would see them. And so she had like made like these cryptic little messages about like, oh, these lyrics are all lies or stuff like that. And it's like, no one else would have known why she made that a Facebook status but me.
Yeah, like subtweets now.
Yes. So then I had to like ask myself, and like she was kind of getting in my head then too, because I was like, am I making this album for me, or like, am I a bad person for expressing myself through this album? It was like she was still kind of getting in my head a little bit. And so maybe part of me still has that, but I do just really want to say that if for some reason she is stalking me and hearing this, I just want to know that I've made peace with it and I'm not mad at her. And I understand that, you know, she was, however she was raised or whatever led her to be in a situation where she did feel this guilt. And maybe it was just because she started something with one guy and wanted to end it, wanted to start a thing with another guy. She was just tackling all this guilt and all this trauma and whatnot. You know, I totally am fine now. I mean, I didn't die from it. I'm glad I didn't, because I think there was a few times where I wanted to.
Panic attacks can surely lead to, unfortunately, like heart attacks and things like that. So I'm just really glad that nothing physical happened. But the emotional and mental trauma is definitely enough. You know, it sucks.
But I don't want bad for her. And I hope that everything is working out for her. And like I said, she just got married. As long as she's cool and she's not like bringing people down with her still, I hope that she's having the time of her life. Like it's whatever. I've grown from it, and honestly, I'm so happy with how strong and resilient I've become through it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't choose to go through it again, but I'm not mad that I've made lemonade out of it.
Right.
So, but I really just, I don't think she's an awful person, and I am in no way saying that, you know, somebody who was also traumatized from something, you know, is a bad person because of how they chose to react in a time. As you said, you were naive. We were naive at the time. I was naive at the time. She was also naive and maybe just angry and lashing out. And just, you know, people go through those phases where they're just reckless and they don't care. And I just happened to be in the crosshairs of that reckless stage in her life. I hope she's normal and good now with people, because I know that she does work. She works with people in the mental health field. So I hope that she is good with it, because she's touching other lives.
I really do hope that she's doing better to be in that field. I just really hope that she has grown and has changed for the better.
Yeah, I would hope so too. If not, I really feel bad for the guy.
Yeah.
I just want to make it so clear that I am not trying to make her look bad, or, I mean, obviously I'm not using her real name, but I guess that's another thing too, is anytime I would ever express myself, even when we were together or something, it would always be like, why are you airing our dirty laundry? Why are you doing that? You know, maybe that's still a little bit of that still in me. But I am good, and this is not like I said, I had to really connect some dots when I made this bullet point thing for you. And so I have not lived in this part of my life for many years, and I'm not looking to go back into it. I mean, I may write a book one day.
Yeah.
But I don't think this isn't something that I bring up often and I talk to people about, because I'm over it. It's not me.
Yeah, for the record, you know, I did want men to kind of speak out if they had been in any kind of abusive situation, which can be verbal, emotional, mental, whatever it is. And when we kind of talked about it, I was like, so many people will be able to relate to this. It's just telling your experience.
I mean, the main reason why I came on here is I did have a little bit of imposter syndrome when you were asking me about it, because I did kind of step in when you were talking about abusive relationships where it was harder on the guy. I did kind of speak in and was like, oh, hey, yeah, that really does suck. And then you're like, hey, you should talk about it. And
yeah, I thought, well, yeah.
I've been battling going back and forth with you. I mean, almost every single time I sneak a little something in where I'm like, yeah, but if I'm not the one for this, totally good to not ask me, because I mean, to me, there's just that whole stigma, you know what I mean? Where, oh, well, I wasn't physically abused, so I don't deserve the same platform as somebody who was actually physically abused and whatnot. And I know that's not true, but after I kind of talked about it with you more, it's like, yeah, my situation probably isn't, you know, as physically like scary or like life threatening as it would have been for somebody who was like physically abused. But, you know, it's something that I think my side of it is a lot more common for people. And
yeah, for sure.
There is such a stigma with men and mental health. And even in my show, as much as it's a silly show, I hide the medicine around the humor as much as I can by saying, you know, there's so many things that men feel they can't do. And, you know, nobody holds it against men more than other men. It's just a thing that everybody does, man up, and oh, only a man does that. And then, you know, growing up, I grew up so hearing it all the time, where there are certain kinds of chores or certain kinds of emotions, that's what girls do, and if I do that, you're a girl. So I do have this very specific sort of sense of humor that I use in the show, where I bring up things that men do. It's just a big joke that I make about men love their trucks and men do this and that.
Yeah, overcompensation with their tailpipes and
yes. And yeah. So it's my kind of humor, and that humor was birthed through how I was raised and just what I see. I watch this kind of stuff all the time on the news and just hell on the roads with, like we talked about, with the tailpipes and stuff like that. There's still times where men still carry this sort of thing. And I'm sure there's plenty of men that if they were to hear this whole conversation, they would just be like, oh, you little bitch, like man up and deal with it, sort of a thing.
For the record, like I don't cuss much on my show, but fuck that. Like,
yeah.
They can kick rocks with that.
Yeah. And I try to do as much as I can with my show. Is like, I've just come out in my show in the episode that comes out this week, is I've had an eating disorder for a while. I'm not afraid to talk about that. I've talked about depression before. I've talked about just all these different things, because I want to try. I'm not saying I'm like the voice of men or anything, but it's just like, I'm not afraid to, you know, drag my name through the mud a little bit to show that we're all human. There's nobody's above this kind of thing. And you can't, I know men try to turn everything into like a macho kind of thing. Like when you see guys go out there and lose the state championship football game, and all these sweaty muscular men are crying on each other, and it's like, it's okay to cry in this situation.
Yeah,
it's like, it's okay to cry in any situation. It's okay to know that you were taken advantage of, or that you got really emotional about something. And I know that a lot of men won't listen to me, but you know, I actually just had a friend of mine literally on Friday, blew my mind. I was on Facebook and this guy talked about me in his Facebook status, and he didn't even tag me in it. The algorithm was just nice enough to let me see it.
Right.
He was talking about how when I was going through this situation, I had a really rough night, and I just made like a really long Facebook post because I love to just type out words a lot. I'm very wordy. I put out a big thing about being like, hey guys, I'm depressed. I've been really depressed for a long time and blah, blah, blah. And a lot of that, I think, was because I just needed somebody to hear me because I was going through that tough time. I was also saying kind of what she told me to say too, because she was like, hey, you're depressed all the time. That's why you can't handle
it. Right.
But this guy, anyway, on Friday made this post that said, hey, I was 19 years old and this guy, Trevin, who was in a band with my sister's husband, he put out a thing about how he was depressed. And he said, I didn't even know that guys would talk about that kind of thing. And he was like, that stuck with me forever. And it was just the most random thing that this dude, and I actually saw, he works at the zoo here in town, and I saw him not that long ago, and I wasn't sure if it was him, but I like didn't go talk to him because I was like, this guy won't remember me. And then I see this thing pop up and I'm like, holy hell, like that's,
oh my gosh.
That's crazy. Because I remember when I made that status, a bunch of people had said, oh, man, you could have saved a life today. And I'm like, really? Like, I'm not trying to toot my own horn or anything. I was just kind of expressing myself. And then, like, and especially, you know, this was back 8 years ago. I mean, mental health has come a long way in the last 8 years. I mean, people will say it hasn't, but people talk about it so much more freely now. That was another thing that I think helped it. But when he told me that, I was just like, whoa, like that, you know, and now I have a much larger platform than I ever did, or than just a Facebook status a long time ago. So I'm not really afraid to be that silly guy from that silly podcast who's like, you know, I'll talk about the serious stuff on, you know, something other than my show, but I'll still talk about it, because none of us are one note human beings. Like, just because I'm the funny guy doesn't mean I can't, you know, share my thoughts, or, you know, somebody else can talk about crime doesn't mean they can't step up and do a something else podcast. You know, it doesn't, you know, we're not all one dimensional.
That's right. And I do have one question. After y'all broke up, did you stay on the medication, or did that kind of taper down?
I started tapering down on it because I had gained quite a bit of weight back. I had gained probably about 45 pounds back through all of this mess. So I was like riding on a high of being, of losing 100 pounds and feeling great. And then by the end of this, I was, you know, beat down from the whole mental situation. And then I'd also gained almost half that weight back. And so I was feeling awful about that. And that was like my main goal after that, was like, I wanted to get my weight back down. And I just couldn't help but blame the medication. I was like, hey, I think I'm good. I want to start tapering off. And my psychiatrist, which my therapist was cool. My psychiatrist, I didn't feel that close with. She just kind of manned the whole medicine part. And I said, I want to get off of this. And she was just like kind of offended. She was like, oh no, I guarantee you'll be back. You'll be back. You'll have to come back. Most people who get off medication have to come back. And I was just like, wow, thanks for the vote of confidence.
Yeah.
So I ended up getting off of it. And then I stopped seeing the therapist after a while. But we both kind of agreed. We were just like, what do you want to talk about? And I was like, I don't think I want to talk about anything. Like, I think I'm good. I got out of therapy. I stopped taking the medication. My weight went back down. And yeah, I mean, I would still have some anxiety with just like talking to people, but it was like nothing crazy. Nothing like debilitating or anything. I've been back on medication for about a year now. And even that, I'm finding out that the whole this whole eating disorder part of my life that I'm finding, I'm thinking that's the reason why my mood was so low. So yeah, I'm considering getting back off my meds again, because I was just like, oh, I'm really low mood. Oh, I'm this. Like, and I just thought that the medication would help. And honestly, it did, but it didn't fix my source issue, which was the fact that I just wasn't feeding my body enough. But the medication is what helped kickstart me to do podcasting, because I was finally feeling confident enough to put myself out there.
I'm just so proud of you for how far you've come, and like using your platform to speak on subjects like this, and this very sensitive topic of not only this, but the eating disorder and everything. It takes guts, but especially, like we said, for men, it's just not something that the majority of men do. So it's good to hear men speak out. You know, I wish nobody would have to go through all of these things, mm-hmm. but if someone has, to share that experience really does help a lot of people, and it's inspiring to others that may be going through it in private and realize, like, hey, I am being abused. Like, I need to get out of this. Mm-hmm. So I'm really proud of you.
Well, thank you. Honesty is like the only thing we got. And I've found that through that whole relationship, the more that you're not honest with yourself, the more your body just kind of backfires on itself. It's like plugging up a gun and then pulling the trigger sort of thing. Like in the cartoons where it blows backwards. Like that's kind of like how your emotions go. The whole time I was having this girl like hurt my feelings, and people would say, what's bothering you? And I wouldn't want to face it. And I would say, I don't know. I don't really know why I'm so upset. And I would have to tell myself that too. And you'll start having panic attacks. It'll mess up your digestion. Your body knows you're lying to yourself. And so maybe I've gone completely the other direction and now I'm a little too honest, but it's like, I just let it go. I don't really care. The more honest I can be, the more free I'm going to be up here, you know?
Yes, for sure.
But yeah, I mean, like the whole eating disorder is a new one for me. I'll be down a health podcast next month. We'll talk all about that. But
oh, wow.
Yeah, it was just something where it's like been a couple of years. I'm like, what is wrong with my body? Like, what is wrong with me? And then I finally heard the right thing. And then I was like, maybe that's it. And then I did a little bit of soul searching on it. And I'm like, okay, that's it. If somebody else would have just said that, maybe I would have came to that realization way sooner. I got so many blood tests and like weird things just to try to see what was wrong with me. Like I was like, I probably have cancer or something. I don't know what's wrong with me. And like everything was fine. It was like, oh, seem healthy. And I'm like, no, deep down, I know something's not right. And then I just find out that I'm almost starving myself because I'm still trying to lose weight and it's not working because I'm not eating enough. But hey, you know, that's just the new journey and a new thing to work on. I'm a real self-improver, so that's fine.
Well, I definitely want to keep in touch and check in on you and see how you're doing. And I know you'll get through this. I know you will. I know you're a strong person. You know, I just wish you the best of everything. Like, I'm just so proud of Seriously Sinister and everything that you're doing. Man, kudos to you.
Oh, well, thank you.
And thank you for sharing on here with me. Oh, that means a
thank
lot.
Thank you for having me. I know this went probably an hour longer than you were expecting it to. And I was like, oh, my story's not that long.
I feel so bad. I know you need to get to bed.
No,
so
no, you're fine. My girlfriend says I'm very long-winded, and she's not no. wrong. So even when I say this story's not very long, it's like, yeah, but who's telling it? But yeah, we'll definitely stay in touch. And I love everything you're doing with the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And I know you do a lot more advocating type stuff too, which is awesome.
I've definitely been trying.
Yeah, we just stick with the comedy thing, so we try not to get too serious. But I know I leave the serious stuff to people like you.
The world needs shows like Seriously Sinister because we all need that break sometimes. So I appreciate, you know, y'all show a lot.
Thank you. Yeah, that's what the whole aim was to be, was the palate cleanser for even the true crime comedy stuff. I like it. I have no problem with banter and comedy around it, but you're still digesting the hard information around it, and I just don't want to give that.
Right. Again, I'm so proud of you and grateful that you sat down and told your story.
Yeah, I'm actually glad I did it. I was really on the fence at first, thinking, like I said, imposter syndrome about it, but I'm glad I did
it. Me too.
So hopefully someone hears it and it helps them.
I am sure, because this is just so relatable. Because it's not always physical. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of people will relate and it'll help.
Good. I hope so. If it's just one person, that will make it worth it to me.
Exactly. Exactly. But I know you do need to get to bed. It is late and you have things to do tomorrow.
I do.
So I will let you go. And thank you so much again, Trevin.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Of course.